Hello and welcome to PC Gamer Podcast, episode number 318 for June 1st, 2012. I'm Evan Lottie. Hey, Tyler.
That's Tyler Wilde.
What was that?
Man? I said hi. There was a.
He's so excited.
Yeah.
Back on the PC Gamer Podcast today is Editor-in-Chief Logan Decker.
It's like, like a little doggy.
Before you even get to the door, you know?
I think we're all pretty eager. I mean, E3 is coming up next week.
I'm totally eager. I'm feeling eager.
Things are exciting. And, of course, to my left, Todd Hafer. TJ Hafer.
Yes.
I gave away your secret identity.
Todd is my legal. Oh, man. Now I have to, I have to get out of town because my enemies will come and find me.
Was Todd a shortened version of something, like at some point, like Todenthus or
Todorotomus,
something? Todorotomus. Yeah, Todorotomus. Yeah. That's
pretty good.
The Todorotomus had the steel plates on its back, didn't it? Right?
Yep.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You may know TJ as our intern.
I am.
Terrific. All right. So, as is the case, or at least the past few years, publishers and developers trying to preempt each other before E3, and all these little bits of information are sneaking out ahead of time. And, they don't want to get lost in the shuffle of E3. And one of those yesterday, last night, I was in the office a little late, and Valve just kind of sent out an email saying, like, oh, yeah, Dota 2 is free to play, and we launched the store, and we're making all of the characters free. So here you go.
Inception sound.
Valve loves to do the big announcements in the most low-key way.
At, like, 7:30.
With, like, one paragraph going, hey, here, and it's live now. So check it out.
I'm still waiting for Half-Life 3 to just show up on Steam with no announcement whatsoever.
It could happen.
Just on the front page one day.
So, of course, this is no surprise that Dota 2 is free. Everybody expected, if you're unfamiliar with Dota 2 somehow, it's a League of Legends type game. Dota is the original version of League of Legends, of course, original Warcraft mod. But what is surprising, what I mentioned there, is that all the characters, all the heroes are going to be free to play. Like, you don't have to buy them. That is the case in most other MOBAs, including League of Legends, Heroes of New Earth, I believe. So all the items that you have to purchase are cosmetic, as I understand. And they actually, they announced, of course, that they're going to be using Steam Workshop integration.
It's just so Valve.
Yeah, it's a classic situation of consumers winning, I think. I don't know. We'll see what the item prices turn out to be when the game formally launches. It's in beta right now. It's going to be launching later this year. They're just saying up front, like, you're going to play every character. And I think a lot of people are just going to get by without having to buy anything, honestly.
If I were like, say, a competitor who also had a Dota game that involved heroes that I was charging for, I would be excreting cinder blocks right now, is what I would be doing. It may not have a huge effect in 6 months, 9 months. But after, in the long term, as people begin to get pried away from it.
Yeah. It's surprising to me. It's an aggressive move because it would have been so easy. I mean, the precedent is already there, charging for these characters.
Right.
And there are so many of them. It's not a TF2 situation where by making one or two paid or sort of, unavailable for free that you're, there are just dozens of these characters. It would have been easy to separate like a hardcore group of characters that you don't want to give beginners access to or something, but really bold move by Valve. And, I think we expected Steam Workshop integration. They're pushing that hard.
Mm-hmm.
Dungeons of Dreadmore is going to be getting Steam Workshop integration next week during E3, I think, with mods and whatnot. But
You were about to say something when I mentioned...
Yeah. I believe there are over 100 heroes, which it's more than League of Legends has, even with as many as they've released, I want to say. Or at least our plan, because they're porting over basically all of the Dota mod heroes into Dota 2, which was well over 100 last time I looked. So.
I hate to, I don't know, I don't want to sound like an apologist, but I almost see there is some design sensibility in locking those heroes off. You think about a fighting game, right? You have to beat the campaign or something to unlock.
Right.
You start off with 8 characters and maybe goes up to 20 or 25, 30, whatever. That overwhelming sense of choice,
too much choice can be pretty daunting. Already daunted by MOBAs in general.
And especially for a game like Dota, I'm sure they're going to encourage play. I think there's going to be a difficulty rating for each hero.
They already have that in the beta build.
Of course. But I don't know. They don't really have a system in place for filtering people into those roles and getting them adjusted.
But what are the odds that system will be in place by the time they launch? You think they will put something in, some sort of anything, a filtering mechanism?
I'm not sure. I want to say that like a coaching system, Is that the case? I haven't played Dota in a month or two.
There isn't yet, but there is the ability to jump in and watch matches straight from the client. So, you know, you can look up somebody who's playing the champion that you want to get better at and see how they do it.
Yeah, I think they see spectating as a big portion of that for sure.
It does answer a sort of chin-scratching thought I had ages ago, which is that, you know, they're coming fairly late to this, you know, which is unusual for Valve. And so how are they going to distinguish themselves? I thought, you know, that's a little odd because they're never going to be just the other guy, you know? They're going to do something to distinguish themselves. Yeah. And here it is, and it's just wham, you know?
Well, I think brand loyalty is a big part of it. Like, this is the continuation of the original Dota. They have Ice Frog, who's been the main developer on Dota for a long time. And when I read message boards that compare League of Legends and Heroes of New Earth, it's all about, yeah, Ice Frog is working on this one. This is the one that we, as the hardcore Dota player base, want to play. So, yeah.
Cool. So I would expect Dota 2's big coming out party to be at PAX in late September, beginning of August. Wait, so August, September. Late August, early September.
Right.
And that's when the second international tournament is going to be held, of course, for Dota 2. Yeah.
Simultaneously in Seattle with League of Legends. A stop on League of Legends tournament.
Yeah. Right.
So that's interesting to see PAX really become a place where sort of these competitive PC games are gathering.
I'm glad to see it. I mean, PC exclusive competitive tournaments, that's going to bring more people. I mean, you're going to catch all these people, like, their friends are Dota fans, but they're not Dota fans. They, you know, bring them in to watch and they get caught up in it. I think that's how a lot of people got introduced to StarCraft too, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's a great spectator genre. So
absolutely. So, hey, there's another Humble Indie Bundle. It's the fifth one, and it's the best one yet.
Easily
the best.
I love that they made a trailer for it, too. They made it a pretty nice VO trailer. Tim Schafer popping up in there.
Do you remember Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and when the ship comes for the little boy?
Yep.
And, like, the whole house is shaking, and all the robots are walking across the floor, and the red lights are coming through the vents, and she's grabbing him. She's running from room to room. She's like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, and everything's shaking, right? And that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
The arrival. I think it was.
That was actually the alien cargo in the movie.
Yeah.
We refused it.
And it's like you go through each name and you're like, oh, it's Amnesia, The Dark Descent.
Oh, yeah.
Psychonauts. And hey, who's a fan of Psychonauts here?
Ooh, I am.
Oh, everybody.
Yeah. Everyone
in the world. That's weird. I don't feel it. Is one of the mics broken?
I like to antagonize Logan by saying that you know, Psychonauts is kind of the weak one in this bundle. But
can you handle? Can you hand me the gasoline?
Here you go.
Corner.
I'm just kidding.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time, we're going to hear somebody burning alive on the PC Gamer podcast. Screams
it's
of
be good.
Wait, are we gonna? Is there going to be clipping with screams? If
yeah,
it's too loud?
Immolation tends
I'll have to turn.
Disrupt
we'll have
the
yeah,
equipment.
We'll have to.
No,
maybe
actually, compression. I started playing it, and actually, I'm enjoying Psychonauts. I got
It's Psychic Camp.
Thank you.
I mean, I have played it before. I started replaying it.
Psychic
I say.
Summer Camp. What
and
more?
I'm
like,
it's a good game.
There you go.
I think it's probably the one game that I can antagonize you with the most. I don't know if
good
it's
save.
Any other game.
Good save. Good save.
Yeah.
TJ, what's your excuse?
My excuse is that I have not actually ever finished Psychonauts.
Cut his mic. Just yank it.
Ex-intern,
TJ, thank you for joining us. We will be accepting applications. Let's Amnesia the Dark Descent, Psychonauts, Limbo, a masterpiece of tone, of atmosphere,
Sure.
Sometimes the absence of stimulation in that game is so loud and powerful, it's overwhelming. You know, just even the way the music is pressed down and it's just sort of struggling to surface. Oh, my God.
Terrific.
Super Brothers, Sword and Sorcery EP. Give us a few words about that one. I found it a little hard to get into myself, but I know you were.
I mean, it's experimental. It's not a great port.
Lovely soundtrack.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the... That is the experiment.
Right.
Like, we've made an interactive soundtrack, basically, is how I see it. And not a great port, I think, from the... It was an iOS game.
Right.
The PC version kind of treats your mouse like a finger. So when you click, there's kind of this big area of effect and, like, and you're kind of clicking and dragging to move the character.
That's actually true of a real finger.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it doesn't really translate great. Yeah. And you know, it's not a game, you kind of can play it in spurts and enjoy the soundtrack, but you're not going to get super into the mechanics because they're barely there.
Right.
They stay out of the way and let you kind of enjoy the graphics.
Raise your hand if you've made out to the Super Brothers soundtrack.
No.
What? One hand?
Sorry.
One hand? Are you serious?
Can't say.
I'm trying
can't
to
say.
That's Guthrie. I think he did the soundtrack to Indie Game the Movie as well.
Interesting. That's another one of those Close Encounters moments.
And it's worth noting that you get all of the soundtracks for these games.
Every single one. And if you pay the minimum, you get Bastion 2.
Which is like
$7.71 right now. $7. Okay, let's recap, shall we? Okay? You get Amnesia the Dark Descent, Psychonauts, Limbo, Super Brothers, and if you pay the minimum, Bastion. You get all the soundtracks. You get keys for Steam as well, if you would like them.
They're DRM
free. So all the games are DRM free, but if you want your Steam version, hey, you got that too. And you can put their multi-platform, and all of them have Linux and Mac versions. You get it all. I mean, for right now, you can buy all that for $7.71. That's less than a super burrito if you have it with the, you know, with the sour
guacamole.
Cream.
Guacamole.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Guacamole adds like a whole dollar sometimes.
Yeah.
Amnesia by itself, I think, is a $50. Like, that's my favorite.
Seriously?
My favorite out of the ones on this list is definitely Amnesia. I would have paid $50 for
that game. How
many
times did you almost lose bowel control when you were playing that game, right?
Almost?
It's just, right. Yeah, right. Seriously, right.
So a lot of people have bought this already. It's Friday.
How many, let's see, total payments to date? It has been, what, less than a little over 24 hours? A
couple days.
2 hours. Has it been 2 days?
Sure.
Yeah.
Wait, they've made $2 million already. Way more than that. $153,500 now.
It keeps going up.
We just saw $30 right as I said that added to the total. 280,000 purchases so far. This is a little disconcerting here. Okay, average Windows payment, $7.15. Average Linux, $12.
Man.
Dun, dun, dun.
Those hipsters.
Seriously.
Well, I mean, the sample group is so much smaller.
Yeah.
I never put much, a
lot of these games like three times over already and bought it again just to have the Steam keys for some of them and the soundtracks. Of course.
I love that about it. I think a lot of PC gamers at this point own a Bastion, own Amnesia or something. Certainly own Psychonauts. They should.
They certainly should.
But they make it so easy to just like, oh, you have extra keys, give them to your friends, whatever. Like,
yeah.
It's just such a no-brainer transaction. And I think it's worth saying that, I don't know, you think about an indie game in 2000 or 2002 or even 2005, maybe 2006. And their lifespan, right?
Mm-hmm.
The game would be released. I mean, Psychonauts, I guess, falls in that category. 2006, maybe?
2000, I think you're exactly right. Yeah. 2006.
Comes out, doesn't get a lot of attention. It's got one shot, basically. It's on retail shelves, and I'm not sure if it was downloadable then. I can't really remember.
I almost guarantee you it wasn't.
Remember off the top of my head, but at that point, it's, you know, you're off shelves. You lose visibility on physical space. And you don't really have a second chance. But now, you know... It's no longer true. These independent developers don't have to take this massive risk. They get second chances to put their game out there for people.
Now, as somebody who's not in the publishing business for games, at least on that side, I really hope that is actually true. And I would love to, at this year's E3, I definitely want to talk to some developers and ask them if it's true. Like, is it less important now to have humongous sales right out of the gate, knowing that, you know, you can do stuff like this to pull out those sales in the long tail, as it were.
Yeah, it was interesting seeing in Indie Game the Movie, which I just saw like a week ago, the Team Meat guys sort of like they're gearing up for the Super Meat Boy launch on XBLA, and they were basically freaking out because it wasn't getting promotion. And just sort of saying, our first day sales sets the pace. How much money we make depends on what it sells right now.
Of course.
And I would love to see how their impression, and that's sort of after when they were like, oh, we're never working with Microsoft again.
Right.
I don't know if that's true, but I would like to see now if they're sort of, with the Steam release and everything, you know, if that they found that to be true or not true. Because
And if it pays off to continue, like Super Meat Boy, you know, like to continue to keep feeding people levels and building that excitement, building a fan base. and then doing, you know, stunts and spectacular things to draw more attention to it. And then, you know, and then like we saw with Arma recently.
Yes.
I mean, it went back up to number one for how long?
It's been up there basically this whole week.
Amazon
in the Steam store in the U.S.
ran out of, or something happened, which Amazon stopped selling it because it sold so many. I guess it ran out, whatever its deal was.
They ran out of downloads.
Yes. That's, they ran out of downloads. Yeah. But they actually had to stop selling it for a while because I assume they had an agreement to sell so many copies and they wiped it out. They probably didn't plan to wipe that out forever. They probably
Which is glorious.
And they had to go renew it, I guess. So that's crazy.
Yeah, I think DayZ's sitting at about 140,000 unique players right now.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. When's the last time that happened for a mod in alpha? Oh, wait, Minecraft.
Yeah.
You know, and I acknowledge these things aren't easy to do. It doesn't happen with all the games, but it can be done, and it's happening more frequently all the time.
Just the strength in numbers of promotion. I mean, I don't know how well our listeners really know the faces of the indie community, but these guys are such a tight-knit group.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, rarely is somebody sort of excluded or like on the fringes or something. Like you go to GDC, which is basically like the real indie show of the year. And these guys are all talking to each other, going to each other's talks, you know, collaborating and helping and you know, one will have a musician that they work with that, you know, they'll sort of recommend to somebody else. And it's just, it's like such a beautiful moment in game development to see that real creative collaboration, not business, you know, strategizing or whatever.
It's guys actually doing the things that you sit around and talk with your friends about. Oh, wouldn't it be cool if someone made a game like this? You know, we see it. We're seeing way more people going from talking about that kind of stuff to actually making it. And I think that's why we're seeing so much awesome indie stuff coming out.
And of course, you know, this Humble Bundle is an all-star roundup. Yeah, we get that. But there's so many other things going around. The Indie Royale Bundle, the Game Music Bundle, you know. It's fantastic, and even the current Indie Royale bundle, which has The Void, The Ship, Dead Pixels, and Laser Cat. I mean, wait, one more time. Laser Cat.
It just sounds like sounds like a fictional game, like as shown in a sitcom or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mom, I got Laser Cat. Thank you so much. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god. You know, and they've already sold over 15,000 copies on their bundle, which is fantastic. Yeah. You know,
it's just gonna want Laser Cat 2 in a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pew 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 pew. Laser Kitten.
The ship was another really cool game that kind of didn't get a whole lot of press. Mm-hmm.
As was Bloody Good Time.
Yeah.
Partly because it was published by Ubisoft, who didn't really promote it. But yeah, I think all this demonstrates is like Voltron is like the best model for anything in life.
That was so quotable. Yeah. Oh my god, that was amazing.
I love Voltron.
Yeah.
So before we wandered in here, we took a moment to view the Skyrim Dawnguard trailer. A couple minutes long, I believe. And so yeah, Dawnguard is the first official expansion to Skyrim coming out this summer. It's going to be exclusive on Xbox for 30 whole days. Thanks a lot, Microsoft.
Yep.
But after that, we'll get to play it. And it features vampires. What did you guys think of it? What did you guys think of the trailer? The premise seems to be a vampire lord wants to blot out the sun.
Figures.
A very noble goal.
Yeah.
So it can be permanently
night.
Right.
Can just, you know, he wants to enjoy the fields as I enjoy them.
He's tired of taking that stamina regeneration penalty during the day.
Exactly. Well, I think Logan and I will agree that his blood fountain was probably evaporating too fast.
Right.
Which is why he wants to blot out the sun, I assume. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you got that like out of a catalog.
Yeah.
They have like 25 different kinds of blood fountains.
Well,
you
that's totally a Skyrim all item.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. A blood fountain.
You have to put it together yourself.
Guaranteed.
Blood not included. However, you know, you can buy it by the pint and they'll
there you go. Yeah.
They have different kinds.
Blood of the month club.
They have sheep blood, virgin blood, AB.
So, I mean, I like, I don't know how many of you guys played the Oblivion expansion content. But you know, Shivering Isles, like bringing in a little bit of the insane, the absurd.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's already a fantasy context. I don't know if it's fair to call it absurd or ridiculous. But vampires are such a rich, you know, element within fiction. That's beautiful, Logan.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be disrupting.
No, you're welcome to sprinkle furry animals.
Picture of a rock hyrax. But
hyrax is like the best word.
It's an amazing word.
I love that word. Yeah.
Right.
But anyway, I mean, vampires are terrific. Whether you are a vampire, you want to kill them.
I will be killing them. Yeah. I'm throwing the gauntlet down right here that my werewolf is going to rip all of those vampires in Dawnguard, a new one. Werewolves are better than vampires.
Werewolves
you heard
are,
it here.
Are rhymes with ussies.
I like that Bethesda sort of uses expansions as an excuse to kind of go a little bit. Like there was a New Vegas. ZeniMax, Bethesda, etc. There was a New Vegas expansion that was just like, I don't know. There were robots. I forget.
Was it the one with the alien ship?
Yeah. No, it was the one after that. I think
the alien ship was Fallout 3.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It was a New Vegas, but it was silly. It was kind of silly, and this one doesn't necessarily look silly, but it just...
It reminds me, actually, of Blood Moon, the Blood Moon expansion for Morrowind, which was the werewolf expansion, and this, is the vampire expansion, which is cool, because the vampires have a lot of lore in the Elder Scrolls, and we haven't seen it really in Oblivion and in Skyrim until now, where you actually kind of see their society and stuff.
I have to admit, I never actually beat Skyrim. I'm sorry.
Really?
No.
Just you haven't beat the main quest, or you haven't beat any of?
I haven't beat the main quest. I played it for 50 hours, but I.
Have you beat any of the guild quests or anything like that?
Yeah, I've gotten to it, but I mean, I haven't quote finished the game.
Well, yeah, you can't ever really finish an Elder Scrolls game, I don't think.
Well, the main quest. Anyway. Yeah.
So speaking of other popular genres, cyberpunk is a popular genre.
That is a popular genre.
And CD Projekt is like, oh, I guess we'll make a cyberpunk RPG.
Yeah, it was great. They put out a teaser, like a cyberpunk-looking image, like, oh, we're going to announce a new RPG. So everyone goes, hey, CD Projekt Red's going to announce a new cyberpunk RPG. And the next day they announce an RPG based on cyberpunk. So then we just switch our headlines around and go, CD Projekt Red announcing cyberpunk RPG. CD Projekt Red announcing RPG Cyberpunk, based on a tabletop game.
Sign me up already. Because
me too.
Yes.
The truth is, and I know this is a little bit. I know. No. Wait. I'm just not a fantasy dude.
No, I'm there.
You know, I mean, it's okay. It's all right.
The leather armor, the ponytails.
The Dragon Age. I love BioWare. Just the ponytails. No, everything you're talking about right there.
Yeah,
dwarvish.
The ale.
Yeah, you know.
I was really impressed by a lot of stuff in The Witcher. Could not get into it for that reason. But now it's like, all the concepts of The Witcher and give me like cool cyberpunk
stuff. Thank you. So, this is what I'm talking about.
With neat tattoos.
Yes.
And neon lights everywhere.
Right.
Just gratuitous neon lights.
Jack me in.
I am excited.
Jack me in.
Like, I want to play a cool, like, I want like a grittier Mass Effect kind of.
Sure.
I want like the Blade Runner of sort of RPGs.
Yeah.
I think they're capable of that. So do we know any hard details, Tyler?
We don't. It's being developed by veterans of course, The Witcher and The Witcher 2. So one would assume if CD Projekt Red were making a new RPG, that's who would be developing it. It'll have, I don't know. I mean, we could probably look to the original tabletop game to find out maybe more things, because they do have the creator of that, on board, and he's happy that he found someone. Well, of course he's going to say that, but he says he's happy that, he thinks they're the first people that he's sort of struck a deal with that he feels are qualified to do this game. So it's nice to hear an endorsement from the original creator of something.
Who's being paid for his
endorsement. But it's better than, like, I'm not creatively involved. They didn't invite me to the announcement.
Right.
He was there talking.
Like Alan Moore in Watchmen, right?
So, I mean, that he's involved, I don't know much about the tabletop game. We know we will have character classes.
Yeah.
They'll be customizable.
Great.
And one thing CD Projekt did say in specific is that it's definitely going to be a mature RPG for mature audiences. I think that's a direct quote with mature used twice.
I'm mature.
It's a mature RPG for mature audiences.
Fantastic.
Which, like Witcher, there's lots of, nudity and junk.
Right.
So. So they're going the same route. That's fine. That's good.
That'd be great on the SRB rating, like nudity and junk.
Yeah. Right. Nudity, junk, and junk.
Literal and figurative junk, yeah, okay.
But, they really haven't said much. They released two pieces of art and said, we're making this.
Cool.
Everyone assumes.
I remember one thing from the announcement that little exclamation point appeared over my head. They had announced it as a AAA RPG.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Can we talk about that for a second? What does AAA mean? What is a AAA game?
So AAA,
we're releasing a AAA game.
I hate how okay. I love that we're bringing this up, because the way that like investor speak has crept into
seriously.
I mean, just gamer conversations is AAA is a way of describing a like credit, like it's a credit rating,
right?
For nations, for example.
Yes.
And since we don't seem, I mean, the distinction is like, you know, we have, I guess we have AAA games and we have indie games, right? And maybe we have B games. That's not, I don't really see that used a lot these days.
Right.
But it's not a useful term. No. Call it big budget if you want. Call it blockbuster, right. I guess.
All it means is we're spending a ton of money on this.
Exactly. And doesn't a blockbuster need to be, isn't that like an after the fact term? Yeah. Like it was a blockbuster?
Yes.
But right? Where Battleship is going to be a blockbuster movie. You
but
know?
Not to investors. You say, okay, we're making Battleship. It's going to be a blockbuster.
Yeah, oh, that's you the know, right so to Evan's point. Which
we're
is
making an RPG. It's going to be AAA, meaning we're going to spend a lot of money, your money. We need your money to spend on it.
The other phrase that I hear, I don't know, it's mostly like, you know, folks on YouGAF or other message boards using it, IP.
Oh, I hate that. Yeah. Oh!
Yeah. Not a fan.
Intellectual property, like, just call it a game.
just
call it a fictional whatever. You know, I mean,
you can use IP.
Did you enjoy that book?
Why,
I thought the IP was
case.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's
if you're talking about legal documents, you know, go for it. But
it just, I don't know, kind of a, like I never hear film, you know, film enthusiasts talking like, oh yeah, Paramount has this like new IP, this new sci-fi IP.
Seriously.
Like, I would just
they say,
and will they be releasing it in different SKUs?
Well, like, I mean, fiscal 2014.
Right.
Anyway, sorry to go on a small rant there, guys, but just be gamers.
Yeah, I don't like AAA.
Don't be like weird analysts. Those guys are dumb.
Oh, teeth feel so good after you gnash them.
Your mom doesn't want you to grow up to analyze bonds and stuff.
Yeah, no.
Well, maybe. Oh, never mind.
So, I wanted to touch on this. TJ has been just relentlessly playing Diablo 3. How many?
I have.
Yeah, you've played a lot. I mean,
my highest character, man, which is not going to sound, it's not going to sound impressive to people who have been like only playing Diablo 3 and they have like six characters on Inferno. But my barbarian's level 52, and he is in Act 2 of Hell difficulty, which is the second highest.
Great.
And then I have a bunch of alts that are in their mid to low 20s. I have one of each class.
So as someone that's been playing it nonstop, how have you found the server situation this past week?
It's been, aside from those first 3 days, it's been pretty stable. There were
the first 3 days of launch.
Yeah, the first three days after it launched. It's been pretty smooth sailing. There were, I think, three instances I can think of that servers were down for not a very long time at all. So it's definitely evened out. I still get some lag, like every once in a while your character will like jump back a few feet because the server had a hiccup or something.
Okay. And Blizzard did roll out the first patch for Diablo 3, first major rebalancing patch. No new content, as I understand.
No, and they didn't really mess with Barbarian, so I didn't pay much attention to the changes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But as far as you can tell, I mean, they're also talking about changing the, like, lowering the prices of, like, the blacksmith, I believe? Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I know the gem combiner, like, to get the next tier up of gems, it used to be 3-to-1, and now it's 2-to-1, which is nice, because those, you know, can take a long time to drop on some areas. And I think they're lowering the number of pages you need with the blacksmith, which is, like, higher-end recipes. You need, like, pages and tomes. He needs to read a whole book to know how to make this sword, basically. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
and I heard that they're also going to be lowering like the difficulty of Inferno a little bit, trying to less, you know, even out the amount.
I don't know that they're lowering the difficulty of Inferno, but they want to make the melee classes more survivable.
Yeah.
That's a problem right now. Is, you know.
You were saying earlier the monk is just.
Yeah, the monk gets demolished. He's all melee, in Inferno, and the barbarian, even to a lesser degree, if you're not spec'd full tank, gets completely demolished. So
last week we were kind of harping on the boss mechanics of Diablo 3 and just, you know, criticizing them for being pretty simplistic, pretty basic, and uninteresting. Have you found that to be different in higher difficulties?
I didn't notice on Nightmare. Of course, I killed him pretty fast on Nightmare, but on Hell they definitely do have some new mechanics.
Really?
Okay. I don't know if there's even more in Inferno or if it's just like harder to dodge versions of the Hell ones, but there are new minions or new like monster types. Like they can like suck you in with like a vortex, and there's like one that's, they have invincible minions and you have to kill the elite before you can kill their minions and stuff.
Okay.
The biggest difference, I think, on the higher difficulties is just that the normal enemies do so much damage. Like, you can be killed by 6 normal zombies in Act 1 in, like, 5 seconds if you're not careful.
Okay.
So.
Thank you, TJ. Hell correspondent.
Yeah.
And
I am.
No one's rated Blizzard in the U.S. yet, so
no.
They're safe for now.
No, not in the U.S.
Where was it? Korea?
It was Korea, yeah.
Yeah, they were government upset that it was getting a lot of complaints about people wanting refunds after the launch woes, and I guess Blizzard refused based on its terms, and the Korean government didn't agree that those terms were okay. So
wow,
yeah, they're having some legal problems, I guess, in Korea. Mm-hmm. But I won't elaborate too much because I don't know the exact details.
So E3's happening last week.
No.
You're trying to deny it.
Yeah.
Trying to make it not so. We're
next
not,
week as opposed to last week.
We're not dreading it, of course. That would be crazy. It would be crazy to dread E3. There's lots to look forward to. And I guess, I want to spend just a few moments talking about the game you're most excited about seeing. Or even if TJ, unfortunately, is not going to be able to join us. I wish we could parachute him in or sneak him into a suitcase
or
something.
I'll figure something out.
But, you know, what you guys are looking forward to. And also, you know, maybe talk a little bit about what you wish E3 would be like for the PC. I mean, I feel like for the past few years, it's been, I don't know. I'll just let us speak on that. But yeah, first of all, let's talk about what game we're looking forward to seeing most or having a big showing at E3.
It's kind of a cruel question.
It sure is.
I mean, you have me hyped for Arma 3, but I've barely played Arma 2, so I can't say it's what I'm most excited about. It's just really pretty to look at.
Yeah.
But I would say I'm most excited to check out PlanetSide 2, which, SOE has a booth, so we're assuming it's there in some form. It just, for similar reasons, I really like the idea that I could get a squad together and sort of, you know, do recon or something with them and sort of initiate an attack on an objective. And I just want to see how that might work. It might not be something they can demonstrate well, because you have to have a lot of players into a game like that to demonstrate, does this work when you have real people, when you have 600 people fighting 600 people, is it just going to be head-to-head skirmishes over and over because that's how people play it? Or will I be able to, strategize and use the cover of darkness maybe to do some infiltration or something?
So, yeah.
But I'm very hopeful for it. The original PlanetSide was, launched at a hard time for what it was. It was incredibly ambitious, and I had a hard time playing it, but this seems like now this is doable.
Yeah, the player population, I think, was probably the biggest issue with the original PlanetSide. There just weren't enough people on the servers to support.
People are still playing it.
Yeah, here and there.
So
the kind of
obviously, there's something there. The investment that they put in, they're getting a huge reward out of it if they're still playing it. So I'm hoping that PlanetSide 2 just makes it a little bit more accessible. It'll still take investment. Biggest rewards, kind of, I think, I don't remember. We talked about this at some point, just like DayZ. Like, it takes a lot of investment, but you get sort of this huge reward of this experience and story.
A lot of DayZ's rewards are intrinsic, which we can talk about later. I'm expecting PlanetSide 2 to have a huge showing at E3. I mean, this is... Yeah. I've talked with them, and I wrote a preview for our current issue, which we actually just got in the mail today. Should be going out to you guys soon. And, one of the questions I always ask those guys at Sony Online, Matt Higby, who's the creative director, I'm like, Matt, how are you going to make this game work? Okay, hundreds of people
in
a multiplayer environment, non-instance, right? You're not, loading into some area that's, basically a small multiplayer map. I guess the continents are instance, but, hey, their continents are huge. If a flashpoint breaks out at Outpost A, and naturally everyone wants to defend it because it's super important. It's Outpost A. It has these key resources or something. Mm-hmm. That's my home turf, whatever. How are you going to handle that surge of players coming in, right? Because EVE Online, for example, they invented this time dilation technology, which literally changes the pace at which the game moves in certain systems. So they can handle this influx of players, right? Mm-hmm. You don't really have that liberty in a.
If everything went Max Payne, it would be really confusing.
Yeah, and I mean, what was incredible to me, they just kind of shrugged that off. They're like, we've been making MMOs for a decade now. Cool. We made EverQuest. I mean, they weren't like cocky about it. I don't want to misrepresent that, but they were like, we've been doing this for a long time. We made our own engine. We've been refining net code for these kind of games for years, and we've got this basically. So
can't wait to see.
Yeah, at E3, we're going to get a chance to play with at least about 100 people, I think. They're going to have a LAN set up, and they're going to be sort of piping people in from the office into that game. So that should be a good demonstration of the scale.
I look forward to seeing.
The game has, like, some beautiful particle effects, too. Just look up some video of, like, Planetside 2, Night Battle.
It's pretty in general.
Mm-hmm. It's Star Wars, basically.
I'm also looking forward to Hawken, I believe, will... be Ooh. There. Actually, I think maybe in Force. This might be kind of their big. Hey, we're Hawken. Here we are. Because they sort of were not under the radar, but they were just like, we're going to tease you with really cool looking, YouTube videos and not really tell you too much. And they opened up their website, but I think now they're going to start pushing, and I want to see it.
Yeah. Did you see that live action trailer for Hawken? It's kind of weak.
I'm going to miss that. Hmm. But I mean, I like robots. I also want to see MechWarrior Online.
Yeah, I'm going to get to play that as well. I'm looking forward to that a great deal. It's going to be in the Razer booth at E3 and partnering up with them.
Sorry, I had to tweet my amazing new podcasting shirt.
Oh, it's lovely.
I just feel like, I wish everybody could see it right now, but Twitter feed.
It's an aeronautic squirrel.
I just couldn't be happier with my squirrel with goggles. XCOM, Enemy Unknown, no question. I mean,
oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh, I got a little bit of hands-on, kind of brief, but it just
Logan has played XCOM.
Blew me away.
No way.
It was dark. It was gruesome. It was extremely tense. Everything is working. Oh my God. So
that's so reassuring.
I think they're going to have a lot more at E3 to show off, and I just can't wait to get my hands on it. It was so gripping, and it's just got that, sort of bowel twisting. Tension to it.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Which I for some reason I don't always get out of war games, where I just want to, everybody dies. I'm like, ha ha ha. It feels so gritty and atmospheric.
Yeah, so. I mean, I was watching an interview on our website, and they're kind of with the developers of XCOM, of course, for Axis, and they were just saying, we really take pride in our difficulty levels, basically. Mm-hmm. We want it to be as brutal of a game as you remember.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? You look back at the old games, and, the graphics were so primitive, but I do remember it as brutal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's disgusting, really.
Well, it's coming back around because they kept making games easier and easier, mm-hmm. and then people just got tired of it, and they're like, we want actually challenging games, please. And
Yeah.
So that's just going to be spectacular. And like Tyler, Hawken.
Yeah, this is probably going to be the rig coming out. I mean, I'd expect them to have some sort of. They're probably going to follow the same model we've seen Tribes and other free to play shooter ish games follow, where they have this beta that transitions into a launch. Yeah. Hawken's launching on 12/12/12, December 12th.
Another one that I'm actually looking forward to, because I got a bit of time with it, is Lost Planet 3, of all things.
I've been hearing some good things about
Seriously.
That.
Seriously.
And some not so good things about Resident Evil 6. I'm sorry, go ahead.
it's really, it feels like, if you try to compare a game to a movie, games are, I'd always prefer a game, because I'm doing it, right? But if you look at them as narratives, the games always come up short, right? Because the writing, the acting, it's just not, you can't edit it into a nice cohesive scene, But Lost Planet 3 did not feel like that at all. The writing felt really grown up and realistic. The characters felt realistic. The way the banter people have back and forth, that's usually so poorly done, because it's just, you have to give people information quickly and inefficiently, and it doesn't sound natural. Here, it absolutely did. And it felt like they were setting everything up just so. And then, of course, it's got, giant beasts. And
all of these things that you were saying about Lost Planet 3.
Screaming.
Did it resemble Dead Space at all? Did it feel like it had some more Dead Space in it?
Yes.
Okay. That's good.
It's not, of course, not the tight claustrophobic feeling, but it had a vibe But you know what it felt more like was the movie The Thing.
Huh. Oh.
That's what it felt like. You know, like it starts out, everything's cool, and right now you're just getting used to the characters, and instantly you get a read for everybody's personality, right? The grumpy ones, the jokers, the serious people.
The ones that will try and kill you later and are actually aliens.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, right, right. So keep that drill holstered, you know what I mean? So I'm very much looking forward to that. You know, the first one's, there. The second one.
So I was going to say, this could be one of the biggest surprises if it really comes out and we're like,
right,
at E3.
I think so. I mean, nobody asked for this game, right? I don't think anybody was really clamoring for another Lost Planet.
Right, exactly. So, and so that's why I was so surprised that so much care seems to have been taken with every little detail, you know? And it starts out in a giant mech. So
cool.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing.
I think,
and as for Resident Evil 6, well, I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to withhold judgment.
Yeah, sure.
Come back to us till after E3 because sometimes demos just go terribly wrong.
Oh, no.
I don't mean mechanically. Sometimes they just don't work.
Tonight on When Demos Attack.
Yeah.
And by demos, of course, we mean, you know, demonstrations that are given to us by developers and publishers. This happens throughout the year.
Right.
And they are of varying quality.
Yeah.
That's beautifully put.
Like anything else.
That's very eloquent.
Like cheese or wine.
Sometimes you can have a bad batch. You can have the best chef in the world, you know, and
just it doesn't hit the plate right.
It doesn't. It really doesn't.
What wine would you pair with the Resident Evil 6 demo?
I think maybe grape soda would be more appropriate.
With a little like $1 vodka in it.
Yeah. You take a flask of vodka and you empty a bit of it out and then you spoon the frozen orange juice in it and then shake it up in the hotel room.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
Do you know that some Taco Bells around on the West Coast are actually serving a concoction called Mountain Dew AM? And you know what it is?
What's going on
here? Please don't tell
me
it's Mountain Dew and coffee.
It's a strange bit of mixology that includes Mountain Dew. One part Mountain Dew, one part orange juice.
Oh, God.
At Taco Bell, ladies and gentlemen. If you happen to, visit Taco Bell.
Is that even legal?
For your breakfast needs. I guess it's sort of on like a trial basis. So I guess like restaurant chains roll these things out in small areas and see how they do and then, try it out.
You know what would be awesome is if it's not actually, they don't serve it in a cup. But instead, it's in a giant syringe, and they slam it in your chest, just like in Pulp Fiction. Just bam! They have to puncture your breastplate. You know,
it's an EpiPen of Mountain Dew.
Right, and then she just like bam, hits the plunger, and you're like, oh, thanks. How much? $1.50. Oh,
yeah,
you got it.
That's it.
I learned today that someone made a very complete Mountain Dew Wikia. So there you go.
Includes all flavors and all.
So that information is probably has its own page being updated as we speak, by a crack team of Mountain Dew editors.
Mr. Lottie, what are you looking forward to?
The Electronic Entertainment Expo. Certainly Arma 3. Yeah, I mean, I think if anything, Arma 3 looks great, but just getting the opportunity to touch it for the first time, this is going to be our first hands-on with it. That's going to immediately answer a lot of questions that I have, concerns that I have about the interface, accessibility, UI. Performance is the big one, of course. They're actually revising, if you guys recall, like about a year ago when they announced the game, they sort of made a small mistake of releasing their system requirements, their expected system requirements. It was a Core i5 minimum spec. And, So they're revising that very smartly, I think, turning that down, and it's much more reasonable. I think the minimum car they're listing is like an 8800 or something. So, that's another smart move. Just having some reassurance about that. I know it's only going to arouse more questions probably in a lot of ways, but they've been releasing a lot of videos showing this tutorial they're going to give us, and yeah, I mean that's
there's almost an element of it, like it's almost a turn on the hubris. You know, it's like
Core i5 required.
I know,
or go home.
And whenever I post video on the site or new screenshots, people are like, I can hear my video card groaning or something. And we honestly don't know if it's going to punish your system. We have no idea. We can base it on current versions of Arma, but anyway, we'll see. MechWarrior, that's the other big game, of course.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
We're finally getting our hands on, and again, it's going to answer a lot of questions like how intricate is the game? How true is it to the old system? Like, do you really feel like you're in the cockpit and not like the mech itself? How do they reproduce that? And like the store, of course, like the customization system, is it as high fidelity as I want it to be?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. So that's me. TJ, how about yourself?
I was going to say Mech Warrior as well. Definitely interested in seeing how that's going to play out. I haven't had as much time to like look at what's showing. Like, is BioShock Infinite going to have a presence?
Nope.
No.
Okay. That's delayed.
That's one of the. Yeah, I heard about that. I was just wondering if they'd be showing that off because that's a big one.
Very sad. We're not going to see Prey 2.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Wouldn't that have been awesome?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I mean, PlanetSide. You guys have already mentioned just one of those games. It's like if I had infinite money to make games, this is the kind of game I would make type thing. I'm kind of an RPG guy. There isn't a whole lot going on with RPGs at E3 this year. I mean, it kind of the whole RPG load got blown last year with Skyrim and you know Mass Effect 3 earlier this year. So
yeah, stuff like World of Darkness is still.
Yeah,
way
World
far
of Darkness.
Out.
We have a video of a street with no characters on it. It took him 3 years to bring us that. I'm a huge World of Darkness fan, but I'm not optimistic about this coming out before the end of the world. So, yeah.
Do you think is there? Because the barrier to entry for E3 is extremely high.
Yes.
You know, it costs a lot of money, and all the money you're spending is not necessarily even visible, right? You just the support staff the floor space, the regulations that determine every little thing. Like you can't even move a bookshelf without spending, you know, $1,200. So it's a hugely expensive affair. How do you think that affects the relevance of the show when you've got PAX, you know, 4 months later? Yeah.
It's tough. I mean, part of me wants to say, well, E3 is sort of becoming the, you know, the heavy hitters kind of show.
Right.
But, I mean, you think about last year, and yes, these games were published by larger publishers.
Right.
But the stuff that caught our eye was Orcs Must Die. I guess I'm speaking for myself. And Payday was, like, one of the big surprises on the floor. Just kind of was out there in plain view, like, hadn't been announced with a lot of pageantry. And we're like, wow, a heist game, a cooperative, like, Left 4 Dead kind of heist game. So I think these things are going to continue to exist, but The PC as a platform and people involved with it, people that have a vested interest in free-to-play and all these different aspects of the PC, would be so better served if they just got in a room, they agreed to meet in a banquet room for an hour or a couple hours and just say some nice things about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it takes. Like, I mean, every hardware manufacturer is there. Every, like, peripheral maker, Razer, Logitech, whatever you name it, is there. There's a little bit of an indie presence there. Like, those guys just need to agree to get together and make a really cool show. Get Day 9 to MC it or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Get Total Biscuit. Get us to do it. I don't care. Like, just do it.
Right.
I'm just so baffled. No one has taken the reins of this yet. Honestly.
Yeah.
It's a little sad.
There's a couple more. Crysis 3. Obviously, I'm interested. Very much interested in seeing. Mm-hmm. I'm a crossbow guy. I mean, who isn't?
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
Is it a crossbow? Though? I think it's actually just
compounds.
I was, whatever.
Archery.
Very disappointed not to have received from any of you the TAC-15 tactical crossbow last year at my birthday.
This Christmas.
I'm not saying any. I'm just saying. I'm referring to the last one, right? I'm not setting any
point
expectations.
Taken. Sure.
You can see it. This beautiful thing at TAC-15.com. Anyway, SimCity, actually, my excitement for it was a slow ramp up, but now I'm like,
that's coming out in February, by the way.
At first, I was thinking, you know, when we had our cover story, I was very interested in it, but at the same time, I'm like, what more can they really, you know, my imagination was not in fourth gear.
Yeah.
And so it took me a while to really get my interest sparked up on it, but now, I mean, I've been watching, you know, I've read the cover story 3 times, I've been watching the, you know, little video clips. And I'm really chomping for it. And I just miss those days when you're like, it's what, 4 a.m., you know?
Yeah.
And you're, you know?
And you're worried about the aesthetics of, like, a small corner in the upper left-hand side of your city. And
oh, no, 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 I'm burning it down. I'm listening to all of them screaming.
Oh, that's not
I'm
what
like,
I do.
What, you don't like taxes? Tough, 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 you know?
Tornado.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Yeah. But I mean, that's another way to play it that's totally valid.
Right. Yeah, I like to make a pretty city.
The Roman god, like Poseidon, approached
it. Yeah, yeah. Just like, these are all your problems, people.
I mean, part of the
I'm
fun.
Having fun.
Guess what?
I'm
cultivating. You don't have to pay taxes anymore. I'm cultivating a puddle on the ground.
I'm cultivating a rich urban fantasy in which the god Poseidon has ascended to mayordom and armed with his ceremonial sash, which he wears to bed, and trident, just kind of throws some water people, you know, some 10-foot waves.
Sure.
And I got to say, it does add something that now, all of a sudden, where this is not something I've ever associated with SimCity or anything of that ilk, it's beautiful.
It looks.
I mean, all of a sudden, you know. I mean, sure. I've noticed that you can't zoom in. It's quite as close as I'd like, but that will probably come in iteration, the next one or the one after that or something like that. But it's still it's got a liveliness and a really sort of throbbing, you know, bustling feel to it.
Yeah, I'd say like former SimCities tried a little bit. I mean, they were kind of shooting for fidelity.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They did try, and you could tell, you could feel them reaching out, but it didn't. Yeah, didn't quite get
and
there.
And you have to think about how much processors have advanced, you know, since the last time we had a major SimCities, not counting the one that should not be named. Yeah, I said should not be named, and you named it.
I mean, that was a case of trying to go 3D, and they, you know, actually talking to the team, they had been instructed to make SimCity 4 a 3D, non-sprite-based game, and they tried it, and they showed it at EA, or E3, sorry, and it was... It was bad news, and that's when EA came and actually bought Maxis and actually kind of saved the day there, because the new director came in and said, "Why are you trying to make this a 3D game? It's too big. It doesn't work. You're crazy." But now they can actually do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And regarding destruction, one of the things I love about Maxis is that they totally understand that part of the fun is, like, they added a physics system to SimCity. Really, the only time it's used is when stuff gets destroyed. So they built a whole physics engine in there just so that tornadoes could rip stuff up, and that's awesome. I mean, that just dedication to understanding. Right. Some people are going to spend the whole time destroying.
Some mayors just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah.
There is one game that I'm worried about.
Go on.
Oh, dear.
Tomb Raider.
Oh, really? Lara?
Did you see the latest?
I caught headlines, yeah, sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody will see it, and it's already out, and... Mm-hmm. There may even be more after E3, but it's a very, you know, just Lara Croft covered in blood and guts from somebody head to toe, and the torture porny sequences. I mean, I get it. It's backstory, it's origin, right. and trauma, it's blah, 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 blah,
her
blah.
Her constantly shrieking and being grabbed by men and breaking out and shooting someone in the face. And
pulling rebar out of her abdomen. And
I think something you mentioned, like, the series kind of... When you think about it, you think about wonder and
breathtaking wonder. You know, your air gets sucked out of you when you look at these vistas, and you know, after crawling through these little corridors. But this is
now I'm thinking about death, decay, and violence of a very unsettling nature. That's like
tiptoeing over logs, over canyons. Yeah, that's okay, but it's more like they're gamifying going from point A to point B.
Yeah. It's kind of like someone saw, you know, the Christopher Nolan approach to Batman and then just went way too far with it. Like, oh, it makes things better when you make it darker. Mm-hmm. Let's do that for Tomb Raider. And then they just didn't really know where to stop.
So. And as for the sort of cutscene-y feel of it, I mean, that works in Uncharted. I've played the Uncharted series, you know, and it's like an interactive movie, but it works. So there's that possibility. I'm really concerned, and I found... It's not that I thought it was tasteless or you know, anything like that. It just felt weird. It didn't feel entertaining to me.
Uncomfortable, is that a word? Maybe not.
It just didn't appeal to me. You know, the idea of just playing this, you know, pushing the stick forward and, you know, going from one scene to the next where she's, you know, getting beaten up and brains splattered all over, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But whatever. Is that just me? I mean, did anyone else?
No, I mean,
I agree. It, you know, I mean, it's not, like, offensive. It's just, like,
Yeah, like, ew. Exactly. That's like the same, like, ew.
Wait, none of us have mentioned Borderlands 2, but that's kind of
a
little bit exciting.
Oh, God.
I apologize.
Oh. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry.
Which is totally the opposite. So it's colorful. I mean, it's violent, but it's colorful and exploration and finding things. And then Laura's all bloody and in the corner. Meanwhile, everyone else is running around.
What's amazing, I mean, I think we almost forget how bare bones the original Borderlands was. I mean, the concept worked. You know, it works for the same reason Diablo works. It's a slot machine. You're guaranteed to get stuff by killing stuff, and the return is very steady, and, you know, you get to play with your friends. It's all the same kind of pillars there, but that game, I mean, there's so light on story. There's one vehicle. Bosses were not that great. I think they're really going to be able to, like, really get the budget, honestly, and time to execute what that game should have been.
But I remember, the weird thing is I remember all the, no, I mean, I know what you're talking about with all those faults, but for some reason, I don't remember them.
Yeah.
All I remember were the good parts. How does that happen with the game where, you know, because that to me, that's why I think back of it, and I probably think more highly of it now than if I would, than if I played it again, you know what I mean?
Actually, dude, I reviewed it at Games Radar, and I think I gave it like a 7 or an 8. I wasn't like I was like, this is a really good game, a good idea and a good execution, most of it, but there's lots of stuff where I'm like, yeah, this is kind of silly and I don't like
the
this
end.
Yeah. And the end is not good.
No.
But looking back, I kind of feel the same way where I'm like, man, I had some really fun times doing that, didn't I?
I was like, if I look back and I remember the time in my life. You know?
And Gearbox has stated very bluntly to the PC gaming community, sorry about last time, and we're going to do better this time.
It's
kind of weird.
They wrote this like strange, erotic letter from Claptrap to the PC community, like,
which was very Gearbox, very cute.
Yeah. Like, of course you're going to get like full screen anti-aliasing or something. Yeah, baby.
Yeah. So I mean,
pretty cute.
Everything. I mean, they've said they're addressing pretty much everything. So as far as the like 4 PC systems for co-op and the interface and all that. So that's good to hear. I mean, there's a lot of cynical reactions whenever something like that happens where people go, hey, that stuff should be standard. Why do you think you're announcing it? It's going to appease me. I'm like, hey, look, they're saying we messed up last time. We're going to try to do better. Let's not be so cynical.
It seems pretty human to me.
That we get something good out of it. So
yeah.
So, man, and it looks so good, too. And I don't know how much of the trailers are just CG, but, like, that the cell shading bit from the first game to what we're seeing in the trailers, which could totally be, you know, whatever. It just looks so much better to me, and I wonder if, I don't know, I'm excited. I want to see
I'm going to throw out one more tiny little E3 morsel. And I think it's something that has the potential to be really, really, really big for PC gamers, and it's something called Game Globe.
Ooh.
And it's a game creation system. And when I saw it at work, I felt exactly the same way the first time I saw Minecraft in action. I'm like, holy smokes!
So is it a peripheral?
No, it's a way of creating your own games.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's not like anything you've worked with before, where it was all, you know, you have to learn all these different tools and do this. No. You can pull it together in minutes. You can create a world with just a couple tools and waving your mouse around. You could do it by accident. You know what I mean? And that goes for everything, not just the graphics, but the logic, the animations, the enemies, the, you know, make the music do this when you cross this or this event happens. And you don't even have to do what you're supposed to do, which is create a game. You can use these tools however your imagination thinks that they should be applied. Now, I know that's a little hard to sort of imagine right now, so just hang on. Wait for E3. They're going to have a big, to-do there. It's being brought up by Square Enix. God bless them. And I was like, boner.
I just wanted to ask if someone wanted to dig in and do all the, like, really hard stuff, like make their own model or something, is that something you think, or is it all going to be kind of created,
you know what? That is a good question. Stuff. I'm not certain. I would be very surprised if you couldn't, though. If you couldn't make your own assets and models,
that would really limit it.
Plus, they were I did talk to some of the guys behind it, and he was very adamant about saying what we can't wait to do as soon as possible is get this out there. You know, get it out in the wild and find out what people do and what they want to do. And then they're going to respond to that, right? Which is, there's no better approach, you know what I mean? Rather than, no, this is what it, sort of the Google sort of idea. This is what it's for. Don't use it like that.
Oh, yeah, geez.
You know what I mean? No, what are you doing? That's not what we meant. You know, they have kind of the opposite. They're like, we made it to do this, but who knows what people are going to use it for? You know, and then they showed me, like, this guy made, like, a movie out of it. We never thought that anybody would do that, but, you know? Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's definitely PC attitude.
Yeah.
I think TJ and I were saying the other day how fond we were of RPG Maker 2000.
RPG Maker 2000. I spent hours and hours and hours in that in junior high and high school.
It's just like a tile-based JRPG editor, basically.
Yeah.
I spent a long time in high school playing with that, too.
Yeah.
Good times.
Also, Game Maker is not bad. Mm-hmm. It's not expensive for the full version, and there's a free version with just like limited functionality. But it's decent. It's basic, really basic scripting, like flowchart scripting, and similar system to RPG Maker. So, and there are a lot of other tools too coming out, just really simple. There was a new one. I don't remember what it was called. I think it was like more along the lines of like the $200 sort of getting a little more professional, but.
How much awesome came out of the Adventure Game Maker? I mean, geez.
Yeah.
What was it, Adventure Game Studio or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I can just say, like, as somebody in school, I mean, everything I learned from those games in scripting and, like, the way Boolean logic works and, I mean, probably like anybody, I took a entry-level programming class in high school and then in college. Like, anything that I remember from that is so applicable, like, day after day after day. Obviously a PC gamer, but just as a game fan.
Yeah.
Any amount of technical knowledge, I claim.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'd encourage anybody just explore and experiment with those systems, whatever extent they feel comfortable. It's so applicable.
Right.
Knowing how it's made increases the appreciation. Going back to the wine Absolutely. And cheese yeah. metaphor right. from earlier.
All right, so let's have Playlist play us out. Again, sure. you guys can follow our E3 coverage all next week and beyond.
that was amazing. I really enjoyed that.
What are you guys going to play this weekend, or what are you playing? Max Payne came out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is like Tyler's one of your favorite franchises. Yeah. How do you feel?
It's a big day for me.
What's it like to be you and have to download this 28-gigabyte behemoth?
Holy crap, man.
It just finished at work, but I'm not going to get to play it really till Saturday because I have plans tonight. Thanks a lot, Evan, for making me go out to see the mini-bosses.
Oh, sorry, dude.
But, I won't get to play it till Saturday. But I'm excited. I'm going to start it downloading tonight, so hopefully I can play it sometime tomorrow. It is massive. It's like 3.5 times bigger than Skyrim, maybe a little more.
Oh, you mean file size, yeah.
File size. Yeah. It is like 28, 29 gigs, which I don't understand.
Should have done what I did. Because I was having the problems with that drive. I was going to take it home on the external drive. But, hey, I logged in remotely via Hamachi.
Well, I don't know why.
And I started the download process at home, and it's going to be ready by the time I get home tonight.
I forgot Steam has a remote download function now.
Yeah.
Logan,
while you were out, man, we should have mentioned this on the podcast.
What?
Steam has a remote downloading feature. We haven't really played with it that much.
I couldn't get it to work the day they announced it.
I was also having issues.
I couldn't find the option. But yeah, you could buy something on your phone in the app. And you got your computer on with Steam logged in at home. You can say,
so I actually just exposed myself as a complete dumb when I was at my most proudest moment today.
I had no idea this existed. Wow. Either, so.
No, you did it the hardcore way. Steam had an easy way for people who aren't, you know, tunneling into their home computer.
Oh my gosh.
So we'll play with this this week and we'll see if we can
get to work.
Some intel.
But I can't wait to play Max Payne 3. It's exciting. One interesting criticism of it I've heard, which I think is kind of funny, is the dissonance between Max Payne. I noticed this when I played like my preview of Max Payne going, "Ugh, I'm washed up, I'm an alcoholic, I'm nobody." And then he jumps through a window and kills 30 guys. And then gets back up and picks up a bottle like, "I'm not even good at this anymore." And then he does a backflip and kills like 50 guys while
slides over a car.
And I guess I just kind of heard, I wish I could remember who wrote this review where he spent a long time talking about this. That Rockstar sort of acknowledges that a little bit. Like, yeah, this is kind of silly. I've loved Max Payne for kind of that reason. It acknowledges itself a little bit. And I don't know. It doesn't.
If that's the biggest criticism.
I don't know. Honestly. Isn't that? But isn't that classical clinical depression? Right. That's true. You're like, he just can't appreciate.
I'm not even that good at this.
Yeah. Blam 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 blam.
I mean, like, I mean, at the end of the day, it's really simple. I mean,
oh yeah, no, it's still a good review.
You want to empower the player.
Yes.
And this happens to be your character. I mean, you're not going to make him a cheery guy.
Well, yeah, that was sort of what the discussion was. Like, Rockstar at some point probably said, "Look, there is no way to make Max Payne's depression and alcoholism work if we make the gameplay represent that, because then your hand will be shaking and he'll be dropping the gun all the time, and that wouldn't be any fun."
He just needs a serotonin reuptake inhibitor. You
exactly.
know, he's going to be all sunshine and look
pop
what I can do, man.
But anyway,
yeah.
I just thought that was a funny observation more than anything that's going to detract from the game for me. From what I understand, it's super cool. No loading, just like the cool. I like the seamless cutscene thing. Well, we'll see if I like it, because if it's too much, I might get a little frustrated, but. I'm going to just play that all weekend and then go to E3.
Let us know about multiplayer for that next week.
Yeah, oh, right.
I'm curious.
I am going to play some of that.
Curious.
Once I get through the single player. Great. Which I imagine I'll do on Saturday.
Godspeed.
Thank you.
Logan, how about yourself?
I've been very busy the last 3 weeks. That's why, sorry, I haven't been on the podcast in a while. Been doing a lot of traveling. And as a result, I haven't played a lot of games, which really sucks. So I blocked out the entire weekend to play games. Because I know that next week is going to be busy again. So,
no.
I've got, now, I know, just work with me here. I've barely played Diablo yet.
Oh, yeah.
I know. So I've queued up Diablo Max Payne 3 at home for the entire weekend. Plus a game called Home Horror, which looks to me a little bit like what you reviewed, Tyler, Lone Survivor.
Oh, you sent me an email with this one, and we kind of looked at it. Like, this is interesting.
And it looks really, really, really interesting. It's going to be those three games all weekend. I'm going to use Grubhub, and I'm going to have my food delivered to me. And I will probably not leave the house or see a sliver of sunlight.
Yes.
I'm just imagining you alt-tabbing between all three. I have to go on, and then you're like, the wizard is, you're killing demons. And you go back, and Max is still drinking. Come on.
There should be an achievement for, like, beating Diablo 3 while playing Max Payne at the same time.
Well, you can freeze time, you can slow time in Max Payne. Yeah. So it's like,
and you can slow time as the wizard in Diablo 3.
Slow time, kill three guys. Jump into Diablo, kill three guys, slow time. If you can successfully make that jump in the space-time continuum of two games,
gentlemen, that's the plan.
There you go.
We'll talk to you next week.
Good luck, Logan.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Nice.
TJ, how about yourself? Are you done with Diablo?
Huh?
I mean, are you going to put it down for a weekend?
Diablo? You know, my play has kind of been teetering off a little bit, but I'm still playing, you know, a good, you know, probably 1 to 2 hours a night still, and you know, in the office when I'm working on the updating our builds guide, which is getting new content all the time, and you should totally check it out.
Yeah, it's a great resource if you want to play with different builds for your Diablo characters, guys.
We've got you spent
like a week writing this thing continuously, so
Next week we're putting up a bunch of Inferno builds because people in the comments have been complaining that our builds aren't min-maxy enough to survive Inferno. So.
They're too fun, man.
Yeah, this is too thematic and interesting. I just want the best skills.
I just want the one that makes you win. No, we shouldn't laugh at those guys.
It's true. You can't really survive Inferno with some of those builds. Other than that, I finally jumped into DayZ.
I'm listening.
I didn't even need other players or zombies to die on my first character. I was running around at night. I blinded myself with a flare and accidentally sprinted off of a lighthouse, broke my legs, and bled out.
God. What kind of son have I raised?
And apparently I had some morphine in my inventory that you start with, and I didn't know you could just take morphine and fix your legs and
you
get up.
You blinded yourself with a flare. That's so
my God. I blame the lax building codes in Chernarus, because that railing on the side of the lighthouse should have kept me from...
No, you're right. You're right. That is that's a structural
thing. Not very regulation.
Yeah. But I'm doing all right on my second character. I have like 12 kills. 11 of those are headshots just with the Makarov. I haven't found any good guns yet.
Okay.
Doing all right.
Check some barns out. You'll find something you like, I think.
Yeah.
Find a Winchester or something.
That's what I'm going for.
Play in the day. Weekend's like the best time.
to play. Yeah, it just happened that like I finished installing at like 11 at night and I wanted to actually get in. Like, wow, I can't see anything, can I?
That's actually why I didn't join the military, because I would be that guy, you know, when you come barreling out and I'm the one who blinds himself with a flare, falls down, you know, the gun fires and then sets off.
It's like we've talked about it before. You don't know where you are when you spawn. You have to find a map and find a compass. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go to the top of this lighthouse and throw out some flares, figure out, you know, if I can see a road sign or something. And
I saved lives not going into the military.
That's your service to the country.
The one other thing besides that is I found out about the White Knight mod, which is a whole new campaign for Amnesia, The Dark Descent, fan-made.
Whoa.
Is that the one set in the hospital?
Whoa. Yeah, it's set in, like, this abandoned hospital in, I think it's, like, the 90s.
Colorado.
Why wasn't I told?
Yeah.
I just found out about it this week. I don't even know how long it's been around. But there are people I have heard say that it's scarier than the original campaign.
Oh.
So I'm about a half hour into that. Probably we'll finish it up this weekend at night with when it's dark out, as Amnesia must be played. So.
But not Daisy.
No.
You're a brave man. Well, I was in Daisy last night.
No way.
Yeah.
You were playing that game you can't stop talking about?
Get out.
I was. DayZ is, I mean, just a sort of contrast. It's a totally different experience playing alone, playing with people. I mean, it definitely changes what you're able to do in terms of just your tactical capabilities or whatever, what you're able to safely enter in. And, you know, basically there are very dangerous areas that hold great loot, airfields and cities and whatnot. And if you go in one of those alone, you're assured a quick death, I think. So my friend and I had a character that I've been cultivating for a couple weeks now. I got a bunch of good gear. I've got a map. I've got a compass. And he had to restart. He had died recently. So we met at this airport on the shore. It's like, it's called Bolota Airfield.
I think I might have actually come across that.
Yeah, you probably did. Most people spawn down there near Kamenka. And there's a lighthouse. That's probably the lighthouse that killed you.
Yeah.
So we get up. And we get together and we're like, oh, the airfield's nearby. Run a pretty low population server. We figure we're okay, even though it's a very dangerous area. We're probably doing something stupid. We want to get him some good gear, right? So we just kind of sneak in. There's, you know, zombies on all sides of us. We crouch through the fence. There's a gap in the fence. And we go to the radio control tower. And it's like the main building other than these two hangars. Mm-hmm. And we're walking around in there. And, you know, we're just kind of find like some average loot, some ammo. And a zombie like comes down from the top of the radio control tower. Like he was at the top. Like, and this doesn't happen. Like I hadn't really spent a lot of time in this particular airfield, so I don't really know how it spawns, like the behavior of zombies in it, but the zombie is already up top. Like usually they just spawn on the ground, right? And we're just totally surprised. Like, what do we do? He's like 5 feet away from us. We're like, we gotta blast him. We just have to, like, otherwise he's gonna go active. We're gonna have to shoot him then after he already hits us. So I pulled the trigger on my revolver. And, you know, the entire airfield just, you know, goes on alert, basically. All the zombies within probably a couple hundred feet radius. And they start rushing in, you know. And we got to take care of them. You know, we want to search the rest of this area. We're going to have to deal with these guys. We can't run through them. They're blocking the door downstairs. So they're at least bottlenecked down there, right? I bring out my AKM and start shooting. And we're like, okay, you know, it's over. You know, I don't think anybody heard us. And we start walking back upstairs. We're rifling through the loot and whatnot in there, in the control tower. And so this is the configuration in this room. It's basically a stairway with like a wide kind of room attached to it. And I'm at the opposite side of the room. The stairway is on the other side, and my friend is kind of in the middle. I'm facing the stairway, and my friend is facing me. And just suddenly we hear these gunshots, and he's getting shot just out of nowhere, and I'm getting shot, and we're just totally, you know, we have like a full 2 seconds of just total paralysis, you know. What is happening? No warning, bullets, like death. We're losing blood. Our you know, in DayZ, when you take damage, when you lose blood, the color actually drains. It's not like really black and white. It just kind of desaturates the, you know, the actual color of the game. And we're just like, you know, like incomprehensible. So I see the guy, and he's sort of like, I can only see his torso sticking up at the edge of the stairway, down the stairs, and I just start shooting. I'm just like, okay, like I feel like I'm totally dead. I've been hit probably twice, I think. I just start unloading my revolver. I've got, I think, 5 shots in it. And I sort of sneak further up the stairs to the top of the control tower. And I'm just like, okay. So blood is like a unit of measurement almost.
It's like your health.
It's like your health bar, sure.
Yeah.
I'm down to 4,000 out of 12,000. I've lost 2/3 of my blood.
that's a bad situation.
It's not great. So I'm just like... What's going on? I don't know if I killed this guy. I don't know what's going on. I bandage myself up. I take painkillers. I take morphine. And I'm just like, for minutes, I'm just, you know, revolver drawn, looking at the stairs, waiting. I can't go down there because he'll just shoot my legs and I'll die because I can't, like, bend my perspective to look around the corner. He's got the advantage. I don't know what to do.
I know what I would have done if I had one more bullet. I just would have, you know.
Yeah.
I know. At this point, I'm just like... And my friend who dies, who got killed down there, like, okay, and this, I mean, this is what's amazing to me. Like, if I had been in his spot, I would have died. Of course, that's obvious. If I would have been holding a different gun, if I would have been holding my sniper rifle, I would not have been able to return fire in the same way. If I had been looking a different direction, if I had been, you know, picking up loot at that specific second that guy ambushed me, I would have died. Like, everything mattered. Everything I was doing, every decision we made mattered. My decision to not give up and fire back mattered, like... So I'm upstairs, I'm holding my pistol, and I see in this control tower there's a ladder on the roof that actually goes to the ground. I'm like, great. You know, I'm gonna skip that, going back down the stairway. I'm gonna take the ladder. I take the ladder down, I circle back around to look for him, and he's dead. Like, I killed him. I was just like, oh my goodness, I could, like, you know.
Nicely done.
Just totally excited that I basically avenged my friend after spending like 10 minutes nervously on the roof, like,
that guy gets-
shaking.
For lurking around staircases for
yeah.
no reason.
Right.
Does, seriously, yeah. dude. What are you doing?
He had it coming.
Does Daisy have grenades?
It does.
Okay. Because that would be the perfect in they're, that situation. They're just fairly, a grenade down the stairs.
They're fairly rare. But I don't know. I guess it was just incredible to me that just this loop of zombies attacked and we had to pay a cost for defending ourselves and that we made a bunch of noise. Somebody heard that noise just naturally passing through the environment, decided to come and get us, killed one of my friends, and like everything we decided to do mattered in that moment. It wasn't just arbitrary. It wasn't just, I mean, just the notion that a death and a life like were taken away. And like,
well, yeah, and even the
you knew
ammo.
The cost of this course,
yeah, the yeah. ammo you have to spend when that kind of stuff happens.
Yeah.
You know, I might have to run 3 kilometers to find more ammo for this gun. You
yeah.
know, and there'll probably be zombies there.
Nobody's walking away from that in a good mood.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that was super powerful. Killing, I mean, just one player. I mean, you know, in most shooters, it's like yeah. killing is the object. And also, I bring this up sometimes when I'm talking to people about DayZ. What I love about it is, like, I feel it's one of the only games where I'm really asked to use all of my senses. I'm rewarded by really being a great seer and listener.
Right.
You know, knowing, like, having awareness of danger. I mean, Tribes has that to some extent, but it's more based around the mechanics of movement and, like, death comes kind of easily. It's all about agility. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, seeing a pixel moving in the distance, seeing a flare, like, checking... human dead bodies, you actually hear a buzzing fly sound effect. Hearing that as you're passing through or something and picking up on that and like saying like, okay, somebody died here and their body's still here. So it must've been the last 15 minutes. Cause then they actually get despawned. They get, you know, evaporated mm-hmm. basically. So you're sort of like piecing together these clues and you're thinking about like, okay, the nearest town is here. So they probably came from here and just, I don't know, like really evaluating the environment and also reading the environment as, you know, as TJ mentioned, mm-hmm. you don't spawn with a map. And, I mean, just finding your way in a way that's totally organic, you know, thinking about, like, you know, when you do find a map, you're in these instances where you're looking at the curvature of roads and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're saying, like, okay, so I know that's east, right? That's got to be east. And that's, okay, that lighthouse is next to that town, so that hill must be this hill. So I'm going to follow this hill and that road to get where I want to go. And... I mean, that's in such opposition to games that go out of their way to orient you, to tell you where you are, to give you warnings about enemies. Like, an enemy is coming. Here's big red text over his head and a radar blip and a sound effect when you shoot him to let you know that you've killed him.
Right.
And
right.
Some experience points. And yeah, I mean, Arma is not a competitive multiplayer shooter, but I'm just saying there's so much value in the game not giving you that information. I don't know. I
without at the same time being dreary and frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, because you lack that. You know.
I mean, just from that single encounter, I mean, I think about it this way. Like, if Arma was a conventional shooter or something, I would have, like, leveled up or something, right? I killed somebody and I got stuff. But it was so much more intrinsic. I felt like I learned something. I sort of learned not to do something. Mm-hmm. My experience level kind of naturally went up in this organic way. I feel smarter. I feel more prepared in, like, a way that is not artificial and not extrinsic.
But I like how
that's so cool to me.
When you started playing it, you were sort of discussing like the whispers of lore going yeah. throughout it, where it's like
yeah.
you as the player had to learn things about where loot is, maybe through other players, you know. And then there are sort of people I saw comments who are like, I don't go to any wikis, I don't use a map outside the game because that ruins it. I want to find out about stuff organically.
Well,
like when you discovered someone had a helicopter, and it's like, wow.
And I'm loving, because I'd never even played on the Chernarus map before. Like, I'd played a lot of Operation Arrowhead, but I don't know what any of the towns are. I don't know how they're laid out. I don't know where they are in relation to each other. So
yeah,
it's like every time I log in, I'm discovering new terrain and new areas. So.
It's such an interesting relationship you develop with that terrain. It's totally unlike any other game world. It's unlike Liberty City or anything like that, which has a mini map and taxis that move you around and things like that. It's unlike Skyrim. I mean, these are all huge worlds, but being lost, being vulnerable, and having the threat of zombies around every corner just for some reason really equips you to like think about the texture and like decode what's around you. It's really unlike anything I've done before. Even with an Arma, like being empowered, having military weapons, having vehicles, right? Having a GPS in Arma, like you can just kind of move based on waypoints, and just the experience of being in a big disorienting world is so special.
7.1 sound, definitely a plus.
Wow. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's my long Daisy tirade for the week.
That's the Daisy story.
Spin off the Daisy podcast or something.
Perhaps. Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. Don't mind us. We're going to go get ready for E3. And go get ready to cover it all next week on PCGamer.com. So go come read about it.
We love every single one of you.
We really do. Really do. Yeah, look forward to our Planet Side, Arma, Mech Warrior coverage, everything else.
All of it.
Hitman, other games, that'll be at E3.
Divinity guy, Larian's going to be there.
Yeah, Divinity. Dragon Commander.
Yeah, and the just announced, oh goodness, what's it called?
Far Cry 3, Assassin's Creed.
Oh yeah, Far Cry 3 is going to be there.
Oh yeah. Assassin's Creed
3. Oh, yeah. That's the one I didn't think of when we were, what are we excited to see?
Original Sin.
So. Original Sin. Yeah, yes. Terrific. All right. So, again, everything's going to be happening on PCGamer.com, your one-stop source for PC gaming news at E3. And we'll talk to you guys more next week. Take care in the meanwhile. Thanks for listening.
Later, Gators.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Yay.
Great job, guys.
How long was that?
That was about an hour and 22.
Huh. For some reason, the PC...